Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
All right, we have such a big show today. Chrissy Teigen is revealing her biggest regret. One of the most controversial couples from Love is Blind is in studio. And first, we have Katy Perry's huge announcement. She's pregnant, you guys. We're so excited to talk about it. I'm Carissa. This is Justin and Morgan. Welcome to Daily Pop.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be back. Okay, so of course we have to start with the biggest news of the day. Katy and Orlando are having a baby. Katy made the big announcement during her Never Worn White music video, and we got our first peek at her cute little bump. Take a look. I was so surprised when I saw the headline about her being pregnant. I guess she just wasn't on my radar. She should have been, you know, recently married, but I just forgot the idea of a baby would come next.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I'm so with you. Like, I literally fell asleep last night and then woke up in the middle of the night, obviously, to do my annual Instagram check. And I saw that and I was like, what's happening with one eye open? And then I remember waking up this morning and wanting to verify. And then I was like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. But, like, I did not for one second think, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe they just haven't been the most traditional. I have no idea.
I think that's what it is.
And they're engaged. They're not married, right?
They're engaged.
Yes. And they're planning two weddings or something, so they're not even... So maybe that's why we didn't think that they were going to have a baby yet.
For sure.
I'm happy for her.
She looks great.
She looks so cute. She's at that, like, cute bump stage, you know?
She looks great.
Stage.
You're at a cute bump stage, Carissa.
No, the big one. Okay, so what is some of your other favorite, or actually, like, most shocking celebrity pregnancy announcements over the years?
I have to go with Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh, that one was a
in
shocker.
In 2007, announcing that she was pregnant while on a Disney show. In a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah,
It was crazy. But the weird thing about it is, I almost wish that we were as progressive as we are now, because I feel like that TV show Zoe 101 could have really taken that storyline and really taught people a lot about teen pregnancy.
Right. Because how old was I? I was just going to say she was 17.
She was 16 when it happened.
Right.
And you know, in that time, 7% of teenagers were getting pregnant, which is a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times we didn't really talk about teen pregnancy. It was always like a taboo thing. But to see what would happen if a Nickelodeon show would have sat there and taught the world the hardships of being a teen mom and how a family can come together and deal with it, I feel like the teen pregnancy rate would have went down. And we didn't really see teen pregnancy on TV until 16 and Pregnant came on, or Teen Mom came about, and it really showed the hardships. And then you started seeing teen pregnancy kind of fall.
Yeah, I feel for her because just all the thoughts that had been going through her head during that time. And then have to do that on such a public scale and get everyone's opinions about it. I mean, you're Britney Spears' little sister. Britney was still...
Didn't have a baby yet.
2007. Okay, she wasn't.
She was about to.
It wasn't the pure time.
That was about to be heaven.
No, that was it.
Yeah, but she wasn't pregnant yet. Or was she? Oh,
2007 was the fappening of Britney Spears. Yeah, yeah.
That was shaved head year?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say Britney's pregnancy, but I guess Angelina Jolie's pregnancy, that was crazy.
That was crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy. When they got pregnant with the first kid, I was like, oh, that's a real couple, huh? Mm-hmm.
I have to say my favorite announcement of all time is Beyonce on stage.
Oh, yeah, that's like...
when she just, you know, rubbed the belly, dropped the mic, was like... I mean, I just love that she added it to her performance. I also love that Katy Perry did that, too. And then Cardi B, she also performed at SNL. Remember, we all... hers wasn't as shocking as Beyonce's, because Beyonce was still early on whenever she revealed.
It was subtle, too. It was like a double take to be like, wait, what?
But Cardi, it was like rumors were everywhere that she was pregnant, because social media was just such a bigger deal. Like, we all kind of knew, but we were waiting for the confirmation. Yes. And then she came out in that tight white gown and was just like, here it is.
I forgot about that. I forgot that now that she's had that baby, that like that there was speculation that she wasn't pregnant or was. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Very exciting time. Congratulations, Katie and Orlando. I'm so happy for them. They're going to be fun, quirky.
Do you think it's a girl or a boy?
Girl, because there was so much pink.
But you wore blue your whole pregnancy.
I know, you keep telling me that. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes I on my announcement day, I wore blue. Again, I didn't think.
I was like, wait, what's happening?
I know. But I also didn't know the gender at the time, or the sex at the time. But I think because she looks further along, and because there was so much pink, I think it's a girl.
I think it's a girl, too.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a girl?
I think it's going to be a healthy baby with 10 fingers and 10 toes. Yay! And a lot of money.
All right. Well, Chrissy Teigen is confessing she got a boob job when she was about 20 years old. And she's had a change of heart since becoming a mother. Chrissy tells Glamour UK spring summer issue, I want them out now. Oof. If I could do one thing, it would be to have a lift. But when you have kids, you think about the risks of surgery. And I think this is not the way I want to die. Boob surgery. Is there anything you regret from your early 20s?
I'm so lucky that in my 20s, I always thought of what would have to happen to me in my 30s. Like, how would this affect me in my 30s?
So you were mature and aware.
Like, for tattoos, I always thought, oh my God, they get green. I can't donate blood. It's like this whole thing. So I never got tattoos in my 20s. If I were her, if I were a girl and I wanted to get boobs in my 20s when my girlfriends got boobs, I was like, wow, you have to replace those in 10 years. By the time you replace those, the price will go from $3,500 to 10 G's.
Who knows where you'll be?
Will you have time to take off? You will have 2 kids by then. You're from Louisiana, maybe 3. Like, will you have a week to not hold your child? Like, you just really have to think about things thoroughly. And I never really, I mean, I got braces in my 20s. Come on.
Aww. Did you really?
Yes, because I thought I'd be on TV in my 30s, so I should straighten my teeth.
Well, that was good.
Wow, you really planned ahead. You were very ahead of the game there.
Thank you. Smile for the camera.
You're so pretty. No, they are really good. I don't have any major regrets.
We're all really well-adjusted people, aren't we?
I mean, when I think back to my 20s, I kind of like immediately get a headache because I drank a lot and I partied a lot in my 20s, as you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of one of those things where I'm like, well, maybe I should have spent more money on something besides going out on the weekends. But at the same time, that's what you do in your 20s.
True. Mm-hmm. And now you try and then you're like, this is going to be 4 days of hell afterwards. So it's not even worth it. Yeah. But I feel like I'm like with you. I didn't go through any sort of, my hair's always been blonde except for a few mishaps where it was brunette. Ooh. No tattoos. I didn't really fall into any sort of like, I guess maybe past behaviors I regret a little bit more. How I dealt with things is probably...
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's all learning,
once you've emotionally
though,
matured, I think that you become a much happier person.
If you guys have any regrets from your 20s, tweet us. We would love to read them on air. So send them to us. Hashtag Daily Pop. Okay, Demi Lovato is also getting very personal. On today's Ellen, she's revealing what led to her relapse after 6 years of sobriety.
I asked for help, and I didn't receive the help that I needed. So I was stuck in this like unhappy position, and here I am sober, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm 6 years sober, but I'm miserable. I'm even more miserable than I was when I was drinking. Why am I sober? And I sent a message out, and I reached out to the people that were on my team, and they responded with like, you're being very selfish. This would ruin things for not just you, but for us as well.
That really breaks my heart to hear that. I know we talk about it a lot, that there's a lot of yes people around celebrities, but, you know, to hear Demi be so open and honest and say, yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. I literally told them I needed to maybe go back into rehab, and they were like, you're selfish. I mean, just that response is so
selfish.
I couldn't imagine a world where somebody's genuinely reaching out. I mean, they don't want, people who are managing people's teams, they don't want anything wrong to happen to their star at the end of the day. Like, if somebody's really struggling, I can't imagine that people didn't step in to try to help.
But she sounds like they're saying that they didn't.
I can imagine it. I mean, sometimes people look at you as an entity, a commodity, and they don't look at you as a person. And I go back to Britney in 2007 when she hit that stage at the VMAs after having that meltdown, after shaving her head, after being on that 5150 and being on that stage and you looking at her and thinking to yourself, how the hell did they let this girl go out there? And then you really dig deeper because this person needed that 10% and that label needed that tour to happen so they can make their quarterly numbers. It becomes a game of guess the commodity, not the person.
Do you think at the root of people in general is just complete selfishness sometimes and just money hungry?
No.
Like, I try not to think like that, but then whenever I hear stories like this,
I also think at the root of people is strict and strong denial. I think a lot of times when you see somebody going through something and you know they have a problem, you think to yourself, oh, it's gonna pass. Like, she's going through a phase, or it's not as bad as we think, because people don't like to deal with it. If I have to deal with you going to rehab and you're my aunt or you're my cousin, then I have to deal with where we're gonna put your three kids, who's gonna pay for X, Y, and Z. I think when people start to break down what would have to take place in order for that person to go and get help and how it would affect them, that's when things get a little gnarly. So for them to say, we're gonna cancel this tour, that means we're gonna lose out on this. That means we have to contact this person. That means we have to go through a lawsuit and litigation on this part. Mm-hmm. I just think people take the easier way out when it comes to addiction and when it comes to anything.
I wonder if their solution was just, no, we'll bring more therapists on the road, we'll seclude you, whatever you need in that sense, but just don't cancel everything.
I just also wonder, like, her parents, you know what I mean? I feel like if I was struggling so much in that stage of my life, I feel like my mom would intervene and be like, no more of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No more.
But how many times have you had a friend who's struggling or partying too much or going too wild, and you never want to be the person to say, you're wilding out?
Yeah, but your mother, I feel like, is different from your friend.
And it's also, I feel like it's a different level if that person has gone to rehab before. It's like, okay, this is like a known thing. This isn't like a overreaction. Like,
right.
You know for a fact you have an issue. Like, you've been very open about it. You've already worked on it. And I just think you take it seriously. You should take it seriously. And I feel for her that she didn't. And I'm sure there's a lot of regrets on those people that she sent that text to. I'm sure that they look back now and are kicking themselves.
For sure. But I also think there are people if you go to rehab and you know how hard it was for you to get there the first time and you come out of rehab and you keep those same people around you, the struggle is going to be just as hard as it was the first time.
Yeah.
Which is why I think she surrounded herself with Scooter Braun, who's not afraid to admit when his artists have issues and not afraid to say, Justin Bieber, take 2 years off. Yeah, I'm going to miss out on $20 million, but guess what? I'm going to look at the longevity of this person and you would be much more valuable to me alive and healthy than you are at running at 50% and a mess out in the public.
Mm-hmm, totally. Well, Demi also opens up about dating. She is single right now, but feels that she still has some battles of her own to fight before jumping into a new relationship. Do you agree? Do you think that you need to feel fixed before dating someone?
Yes. I think you need to have yourself pretty much figured out or in a really good place where you feel secure and whole with yourself in order for you to lend your best self to another human being. I just don't think a relationship is sustainable if you don't feel content and whole and happy with the person that you are. It just doesn't work.
I agree.
Yeah, but sometimes a relationship could bring out and could highlight those things that you are missing in yourself. Because if somebody's telling you, you know, you're beautiful every day when you don't feel beautiful and telling that you're a good person.
But even
when
if somebody tells
like
you you're
person,
beautiful every single day and you don't feel it, that doesn't change your mind about how you feel.
No, but it highlights, because you know what, for myself, I focus on the things that I don't like about myself.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
On the other hand, may focus on the things that he loves about me that I don't see. So yeah, if you're broken, but if you have a few chips here and there, you need some nail polish on there just to like hook it up, like not a full set. You know what I mean? Like, no, you shouldn't get into a relationship if you need a full set.
Yes.
But if you have a broken nail or a chipped one, you could.
But that's also being a human being.
Because Demi is a whole nother level, right? That's a whole nother level. She's dealing with a whole nother situation, but like there are some people that claim to be broken and they're really just scared of commitment. They're like, oh, I'm trying to figure myself out. But really it's just you're too scared to actually commit to something because you feel
you
like it's
going to
disrupt your life and you don't want to have to experience what that's like. And so they just use the I'm broken card or the I'm still figuring myself out. And it's like, are you? Or are you just a commitment phobe?
You're 32. You're supposed to be figuring yourself out at 32.
That's we all
what
are.
That's what everybody is.
Yeah.
But I also feel like people, honestly, and I do this a lot, I don't get into a relationship when I know that I need to be selfish on my own about myself. So if I know I'm going through a change in my life, or if I know I'm gonna have to focus my attention on something else that's more important to me, I often don't get into a relationship and I say, oh, I'm working on myself. Because I know I can only give that person 30%. So I keep it to booty calls and F buddies. Okay?
That's true.
Which is very not selfish of you.
It's not selfish of me.
All right, guys. Coming up, could the coronavirus shut down Hollywood? The big movie that just got put on hold. Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are not the only one afraid of the coronavirus. It's got Hollywood and everybody freaked out too. So here's the thing, so much so that the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, has just been pushed to November. It was supposed to be released next month. That's a huge pushback. So it seems they are afraid of low numbers since people are going to the movies less in several countries already, like South Korea, Italy, even Japan.
Right.
Numerous studios have also reportedly canceled the going to a South by Southwest festival. That thing's huge. Other various festivals and concerts around the country have been canceled as well.
I bet you Katz is like, where was that coronavirus when he needed 3 extra months to edit that thing?
Yeah.
So you think this is a smart move for...
I think November's a little far, though, don't we think? Like, November?
I mean,
I think, like, push it to a July release.
But if you don't know how long it's going to last, you just have to go
be
with
safe
it.
Rather
you have to
than
be
sorry.
Safe. You can't push it back twice.
That's true. I mean, I definitely don't want to go to the movies right now.
I know.
I don't really want to go work out.
Right?
But I don't know if that's because of the coronavirus.
Those workout at home apps are going to blow up.
I need to get that mirror thing that helps you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You remember when we all thought we were going to get Ebola?
I do remember
Ebola.
Yeah,
I remember
Ebola.
That.
Like, everybody thought they were going to get Ebola. But I think this is probably... There was a time where everyone thought they were going to get Ebola. Kyle Richards had to see a therapist for 2 weeks about getting Ebola in her backyard. I just think sometimes people take extra precautions, especially when it comes to something as big budget as this.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing Coachella, which attracts 100,000+ people.
Do we think that's going to be canceled?
That's going to actually be pushed back because you can't be the one who has people coming from internationally coming to something like this and spreading it. If somebody says, this may be an issue, and you could back your wedding up, or back your concert up, or back your movie up.
Do it.
Take the opportunity and do
back
it just to be safe.
Back your wedding up?
I know a lot of people right now that are literally getting married in a few months abroad, and they have to probably move their wedding. That's horrible.
Aww.
Remember when everyone was going to get Zika? Remember that?
Yeah, Zika was serious, too. I feel like people still try to avoid Zika.
Zika was allegedly serious. I think what's happening is, I can't even go into my conspiracy theory because it would be illegal. And
please
I would
do.
Get,
we
I
have
would
all
get
the time.
Into jail if I did. So I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to put it on my Instagram story later. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, what point do you panic in these kind of situations?
I feel like we're taking, I don't know about panic, but we're taking precautions. Like, I wash my hands 100 times a day.
30
now.
Seconds.
30 seconds. I'm Purelling after everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no more like, oh, it doesn't really. Like, I'm very conscious about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not shaking hands so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I panic. Don Lemon has this one look on his face. Because on his show, he has to be biased, and he has to do this, like, you know, both sides thing. But when Don Lemon looks at the camera and looks at it like, then I'm like, okay, I should be scared. Yeah. This is when I should be scared.
So and you wait for Don.
I wait for, if it's not Don, it's always the one black guy in the room. Like, for instance, when Katrina was coming, everybody was like, you know, it's gonna be a category 4. We've weathered a storm and it was fine. And this guy said it was fine, that guy was fine. And I turned on the news and the one black weather reporter in the state of Louisiana was like, I think I would get the hell out. when he said that on live TV, like, I think you should get the hell out. I was like, all right, sir, I'm packing up my stuff and I'm going.
Yeah.
We're not a scared people. We have all gone through things.
Yeah.
So when we say, get the hell out, we mean get the hell out.
That's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. I'm with you, Morgan. I'm not freaked out yet, but I am already taking precautions too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, I had a cough and I wasn't gonna freak anyone out. I didn't come to work for 5 days.
Right.
I was like,
I blame you.
You all are gonna scream at me if I come in and I'm coughing everywhere.
It's true. People do notice that more.
Yeah.
If you're coughing.
Because everybody's nervous. Everybody's on high alert.
And
honestly, I don't, you know, like to go to work when you're sick anyways.
Yeah, it's very inconsiderate.
It is. Okay, we're going to read some of your thoughts on our story. So far on Katie's pregnancy, Love Reality says, I am so happy for Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. After so much sadness and heartbreaking news this year, for once, we have something great to look forward to.
Mm. Mm.
Posh Spice says, Katie's video looks real Beyonce-ish. But congratulations, Katie. I know she's going to be an amazing mom. There were a lot of flowers. It was a little Beyonce-ish.
Oh, I didn't even, but like, it's a bouquet. It's about weddings.
True.
You know? Yeah.
Oh my God, she's wearing a white dress. That's very cool.
Everybody
comes
over. There's always pitting.
It's always something.
All right, and Stephanie says her biggest regret from her 20s was staying in an unhealthy relationship for 2 years because I was afraid of being alone.
Oh yeah, you get over that. I love being alone.
I live for it.
You do get over that. All right, you guys, coming up, he dumped her at the altar. And now she's taking him back, you guys. Love is Blind stars Gigi and Damien are here with a relationship update next.
Damn, Damien, you are a savage.
It would be selfish of me to marry you today. Knowing as much as you tell me you're ready, I see that you're not. Giannina.
How dare you? Get out of my face.
Oh my gosh, okay. Hours after that moment, the two reunited and have been going strong ever since. Please welcome from Love is Blind, Gigi and Damien.
So okay. Glad to be here. Thank y'all so much.
Oh my God, you're so polite. Where are you from?
Georgia.
Seven. I knew it.
Watching back that moment, how does that feel?
It's a lot. It's intense. There are so many moments that happen at the altar that, you know, not a lot of people get to see, but it's never easy to watch. But it just makes us stronger.
And then how did this happen? How did you go from there to back together holding hands?
Well, I mean, after everything went down, I reached out to him because I just wanted to see where we stand. You know, can we be friends? What happened? Like, let's have a conversation where we're not riled up and we're just, you know, talking as normal people.
Yeah.
And then we just talked it out and we understood where the other person was coming from because there are so many beautiful moments. And that's the reason why we're still together now. And we just snuck back into our apartment. He snuck us back in and we like held each other and like healed. And we haven't been apart since.
So let me ask you this question. I'm saving this series for when I'm having a little thing done on Friday, a little Botox. So I'm just gonna sit at home for a minute.
Self-care.
For those who have not seen the show, how much time went by from the time you guys first talked behind those screens to when you were walking down the altar? How much time had it been?
6 weeks.
It had been six weeks.
October 1st to November 15th.
So did you ever in your mind signing up for this, or even in your wildest dreams, did you ever think you would get married to someone after knowing them for 6 weeks?
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. I said there's no way I'll get engaged, but if it happens, I'll let it happen.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, who would sign up for this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Who would in their right mind would do this? My friends all said I would.
Yeah? No one was surprised. We're like, all right, that sounds like you, G. I mean, I was just very open, right?
Yeah.
If it happened for me, it happened. And if it didn't, it didn't. And the fact that we were able to create a connection and it actually happened was just like the universe was speaking to me.
So is there another wedding in your future?
Big question of the day, huh?
Right?
I wouldn't say that it's out by any means, but if it's done, I want to make sure it's right. I want to make sure it's like the wedding of her dreams. I want to make sure that, you know, I think, you know, one of the biggest thing was is we, and it happens with a lot of couples, communication, right?
Yeah.
Is a big thing. And that's why we were able to talk after the wedding, when everything went. If I could go back that day and take away that pain from her, 100% I would. Mm-hmm. But the decision was important for us to have a healthy relationship outside of there, to be best friends first. Marriage comes with so many things, you know, from, oh, we're gonna have children, we're gonna move in together, bills are combining, like your whole world flips upside down, our families are holidays split now. So all these things in the back of your mind register with it, right?
Yeah.
And she's a free spirit. She doesn't like to be locked down. And it was so tight framed that I felt in that moment I was doing what was best for us. And I felt like she was doing what was, you know, best for us too. But I was like,
we just need to come together.
Yeah. Did the show make you have to do it at that moment? Because I'm like, couldn't you had the conversation with her before she walked down the aisle?
So the engagements, so the show was completely unscripted, okay?
Yeah.
100%. The engagements were completely up to us. But if we got engaged, we had to show up to the altar.
Yeah.
And we had to go through the vows. You had to go through everything.
Like, oh, my God.
But it wasn't honestly until that moment. If you heard me, I was like, I do.
Yeah.
And it was because I wanted to say I do so bad. And it broke. It literally was the hardest thing I ever had to do. Those tears were real. And when I rewatch it, I still get like really emotional.
I bet.
It's still very hard because I don't want any woman to ever have to experience that, you know? So it was heartbreaking, but our relationship, you know, is healthier than ever. So
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
If I was a bridesmaid, we would have been fighting. I would have been like, girl, we're going to fight him in the parking lot, girl. We're going to fight him in the parking lot.
I'm so happy. I had a couple behind me.
Your mama was mad. Mm-hmm. Is that good, you and mama? She forgive you, mama?
She gave me a few words and we're good now.
She gave him that spice.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You guys, check out Love is Blind on Netflix. The reunion is out today. All right, coming up, can you tell the difference between $2,000 coat or a $50 coat? We're going to play Budget Friendly or Budget Buster next. We'll be right back.
All right. I'd have been like, we going, girl. Get in the car. We going to his house.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It is time for one of our favorite segments on the show, Budget Friendly or Budget Buster. You love this game, don't you?
I love this game. I always lose, though.
First up, we have Hailey Bieber rocking a cute and cozy cropped sweater. So the sweater, how Buster or Friendly?
Well, she does not wear anything cheap. I don't know if Maeve even knows her stylist where to find something cheap, so I'm gonna go with Buster.
I'm going with Friendly.
I'm gonna go with Buster as well.
Oh!
We'll take that.
I know a sweater.
Can't believe.
Yep.
The Bieber has her on a budget.
No.
Priyanka Chopra and a matching set. Now, this girl never wears anything Friendly.
And
it's a budget.
You?
It's a Buster.
It's a Buster.
For sure.
Oh!
Lies throwing us off.
I have judged you and I apologize. Okay, so Gigi Hadid keeping it stylish in a cute belted jacket.
Oh, girl, that's
it's a Buster. Buster.
They won't do three friendlies in a row
that's
on this show.
Yeah,
and it's also a good jacket. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There we go.
That's definitely a Buster. Wow. Kate Middleton is always on point. So what do we think of these
Friendly.
Pants?
Friendly.
It's a definitely a Friendly.
I don't know, but they always fit so nicely on her.
You can tailor them.
I'm going to go Buster.
No. Friendly.
Zara. Okay.
It's a culotte. I hate that style pant.
Oh.
Oh, not good.
You look cute. Okay, Chrissy Teigen keeping it trendy in a trench coat.
Buster. Oh, it might be vegan leather. Oh, wait,
Stella McCartney, it's a Buster.
I'm going to go Buster. It looks like a nice jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, Loewe, honey.
Holy. Ooh, you know how to say that?
I know how to say that. Sorry. What's next?
missed you guys. Okay, what do we think about Victoria Justice's cropped velvet blouse?
Oh, friendly Buster. Girl. Or friendly. Friendly. I'm sorry. Friendly. I meant friendly.
Friendly. It's cute, though.
Just kidding. It should be a friendly, because that's insane.
Yeah, I can get you that in San Diego.
That's an H&M. You could figure that out.
I cannot believe that. Okay, Jennifer Lawrence was rocking a furry jacket.
Ooh, you know what it is? This is one of those... the lining on the side that makes me think that it's more expensive than
no,
it is.
No, they're separate pieces. Don't get fooled.
So I'm going to go with Buster.
I'm going with
Buster.
Buster, too. I knew it wasn't. I
just
wanted it. It's kind of expensive, but for a faux fur
coat. It's a faux fur coat.
It's pretty normal. Okay. Emma Roberts and an animal print blouse.
Friendly.
Buster.
Friendly. 60.
I hate this game.
I haven't heard a Mango in a minute, but good for them for still.
Oh, okay. Buster.
Kaia Gerber, cute blazer. The blazer is Buster.
She's
Paris
Celine. Fashion
it's
Week.
Celine. It's Buster.
People are sending her stuff left and right. It's Buster.
Yes!
Holy moly.
Fabulous.
Oh my gosh. Okay, finally, our girl Sophie Turner. She's keeping casual and overalls. Simple little overalls. Okay, please tell me those are friendly.
That's friendly.
They're friendly.
You never spend that much money on maternity clothes.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll take it. All right, we're going to read some of your tweets about your regrets from your 20s. Okay, Rose says she regrets being too afraid to try and see new things. Delora says she regrets not being more intentional with my coin.
Yes.
Feel you on that one.
Good point.
And Kevin says, the only regret I have from my early 20s is thinking that Jose Cuervo was a quality.
Taco was my problem.
That's a very good one. All right, up next, Tarek El Moussa is in the house. We're talking kids, romance, and of course, real estate. Next.
Yes.
We'll be right back. This guy is a pro at flipping houses, and he's sharing all of his secrets on his brand new show. Joining us now, Tarek El Moussa. Congratulations, Flipping 101.
Thank you for having me back.
So excited to have you here. Okay, so the solo show, it's just you. What's it like working alone?
You know, it's actually a lot of fun. So I've worked with my co-host, Christina, for, I don't know, like 9 seasons now. So when I had the opportunity to go off on my own, I just really took advantage of it, and I realized the opportunity. So I gave it everything I had, and I think the audience is going to love it.
Do you miss her expertise at all, or having somebody there to sort of, like, look over and be like, do we actually agree on this? Is this a good idea?
You know, it's a completely different show, you know, on Flip or Flop. I'm the guy that says, okay, let's do this. And on Flipping 101, I'm the guy that says, let's do this, and here's why we do this.
Right.
So on this show, I get to show I'm an expert. So I like doing things my way. And obviously, on Flip or Flop, we don't always get along.
Right?
So with Flipping 101, you know, I get to give my real honest opinion, and I would say maybe half the time they listen to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the biggest mistake you keep seeing with people flipping houses?
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
That's a good question.
It's just so many mistakes. Like, the biggest mistake I see is people paying too much for the house. And then through the project, just mismanaging construction, mismanaging their budget. But the show is so fun because I am the expert at this point, but they really don't listen to me.
Like, Everybody thinks they're an expert, right?
They think they are.
But I feel like if I was flipping a home and I had you to kind of fall on and ask questions, I would listen to what you had to say.
You know what? You would think so, right?
Tarek's like, I try.
But
to
that's what makes
them.
The show so fun. Like, I mean, on the premiere episode tonight at 9 p.m. on HGTV, I mean, it's just what this guy did is so funny. It's almost a comedy show. And in the show, it's like the real me. Like, I am really upset with him. And it's never really shown me upset on camera. But with the new show, it really shows me being upset.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So you were doing one thing in your house. You have the budget to maybe fix one thing in your house that you're eventually going to try to sell within the next couple of years or year or two. What room is most important, or what area is most important?
It just depends on the budget. So if the budget is pretty good, I always say go with a kitchen or a master bathroom. Mm-hmm. If the budget's small, you can really make a house look nice, replace the flooring, paint the walls, paint the ceilings, paint the base, just paint the house, and it really looks brand new.
Can you replace flooring not doing it that expensively?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely different types of materials you could use. You can use wood, you could use laminate, vinyl, carpet. I mean, there's so many different options out there.
Wow, vinyl.
Yeah. So recently you opened up about how your daughter helped you go through your divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In what ways?
I mean, I just latched onto her with everything I had, you know? I was one night at home when we're all together, and the next night I'm on my own, and it was just me and her, and it was a different experience, and I just held on to her tight, and when I was low, I'd think of her. I spent so much time with her, and she would just always tell me it's going to be okay.
Aww. Yeah.
She would, like, guess my six-year-old daughter's like, Daddy, like, petting my head. Like, Daddy, it's going to be okay. Stop crying. I'm like, okay, all right, fine.
So sweet. I love it. Well, we've seen your girlfriend. You know, is she going to be on Flipping 101 a little bit?
She is making a cameo appearance on Flipping 101, and I am so excited about it.
Yay.
Yeah.
Is she into flipping houses as well?
You know what? She is going to be doing a lot of flipping eventually.
Notice he's looking at her, by the way.
We enjoy working together. She does amazing with real estate, with these crazy high-end houses, and she kills design. Like, she's walking around my house being like, we need to change this, we need to change that.
I'm Yes, I love that.
I'm kind of the designer here, okay? But of course she wins, right?
Yes.
You know, the queen always wins.
That's a good boy. You got a good boyfriend, for sure.
I just listen. I listen to what I'm told, and we get along great. That's
exactly how relationships work. You just listen to whatever the woman wants. Whatever she wants to change, you just go with
it. Exactly, exactly. No, but she's the best. We've been having a great time. The kids love her, and I'm just so excited about our future.
Future.
Speaking of, like a ring future?
Marriage future?
Babies, more of those.
Well, I'd have to tell her about that before I told you about that.
Okay, has he said anything? No. She's like,
thumbs up.
Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm very excited for your new show. Congratulations on your relationship. It seems like it's going very well.
Yes.
We'll be watching your Instagram for any announcements.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Flipping 101 with Tarik El Moussa premieres tonight on HGTV. Don't miss it. Coming up, do you watch your own Instagram stories over and over? Do you do that?
Sometimes.
Just to see how they look? Okay, we're going to tell you what that says about you next.
I don't want to know what that says about me.
Do you ever catch yourself watching your own Instagram stories? According to an assistant professor at Wake Forest, it's a psychological concept called the looking glass self, which basically means if you think you look good or funny or thoughtful in your story, other people will probably think the same. And that validation from others makes you feel good. Mm. So it's not necessarily a good or a bad thing. It's just something we tend to do. You all rewatch your stories. I know I do.
I rewatch my stories a lot.
Yeah.
How many times? Too many to count.
If I'm doing something in them, right? Like if it's like a repost from somebody or like I'm speaking, then if I'm just like posting like a picture of something, I'm not rewatching it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'm delirious between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, so I will just post everything and not care and be like, oh.
I love that.
And then when I go back and I see people comment on them or in my DMs, like, oh my God, that was crazy. Or, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm like, wait, what did I do at 6 o'clock? And then I go back and I'm like, ooh, that was real gay. Delete. Like, if it's too gay, I'm just like, no, delete. Still trying to find a man. Can't really do that. That Janet montage yesterday. Delete.
Good. I like that Janet montage.
That was fun.
Our mornings, our communal glam room was really a good time.
I know. I was like, whoa, you guys had some pep in your step yesterday.
Oh, those mornings, I thought I was going to hate it. I am loving it when everyone gets ready together.
It's because she brings us green juice from her swanky new hotel room.
Oh, I like that. That's my favorite times. Okay, so why do we rewatch them? So I think I rewatch them probably for that reason. I'm like, do I look stupid? Do I look dumb? I don't know.
Do I look stupid or dumb?
Did I say something dumb? Is my hair all messed up?
The hair is a big part.
But then I typically don't delete it because once I've posted it, because I really don't think a lot before I post.
Yeah.
I don't rewatch it. I just post it and then I rewatch it. But then I feel weird deleting it later because I know that people have seen it and they're going to be
admitting defeat.
Yes, right?
Absolutely.
So sometimes you just like, stick with it. Whatever. So I look kind of nasty, but it's fine.
It's fine. And you never look nasty, please.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
I try to not look nasty.
Do your Instagram stories show the real you more than your Instagram feed?
Yes. I think your Instagram stories, my Instagram stories for myself are less filtered and more not thought out. Like, if I'm doing it, you're seeing it.
Yes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm getting a colonic, bitch, you're getting a colonic too.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna do it. If I'm getting a facial, come with me. Come get a facial.
I also feel like people care more about Instagram stories than they do Instagram feed posts. And I think Instagram feed posts, it just takes more requirements to get somebody to actually like it. I feel like it does need to have it needs to catch the eye. People, do you know what I mean?
No, people just don't like it. That's the thing. Because you always put up the story because you know people are watching, but they just won't like the post.
Oh, I'm very well aware of that. It's like, and my Instagram stories are lit up. I mean, I get views real quickly. I'm like, oh, where were you on that photo?
Where was that double tap?
Yeah. I'm like, huh.
And I have a lot of, I have good
engagement. These numbers don't match up. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
Also, since we're on the topic, I just want to give you guys just a little tidbit out there because a few of you have done it to me. And I just want to let you know, because I know you gay guys out there share my Instagram stories or
whatever. I took that off, that feature. You can't share my story. You can't send my story to other people.
Oh, no, share it, because I want people to know. But if somebody shares, let's say I share something to you and you click on it, and you then go under it to comment on it, like if it's like me talking, like, oh, look at Morgan's makeup, it's so terrible, and I send it to you, if you click on that and then you go into the comment moment and you put, ooh, that was a rough day, that comment does not come to me. That comment goes to her.
Oh, yeah, I always delete.
So you have to be real careful.
I always delete it and then respond in a new thread. No amateur moves.
No.
Can't do that. It's very tricky. Whenever someone sends me something, I'm like, delete, and then I'll respond. And then you always,
if you're gonna talk, just be very careful.
It is.
To know where that send button is sending it.
Yes.
I have done it time and time before. My God.
Yeah.
All right, well, Twitter is testing a new feature. It's called Fleets. So Fleets are tweets that vanish after 24 hours. They cannot be retweeted, liked, or even publicly commented on. So Twitter hopes that this will lead to more engagement by minimizing people's fears that their tweets might be too controversial or embarrassing.
I think that's very smart.
I do, too. A lot of times, I think people don't tweet because they don't want that to live on their profile forever. I mean,
or
if
do
you
anything
Google
online. Yeah,
somebody's name, their tweets will pop up.
Yeah, but that's not the problem with Twitter. The problem with Twitter is that Apple has given people 512 gigabytes of space, so they have a lot of space to be like, oh, I'm gonna screenshot this. He might be famous one day, and I'm just gonna put it in the May host the Oscars one day folder to bring that up 7 years later.
True.
That's the problem. So, and Fleet, oh my God.
But I guess you could screenshot
things
a Fleet.
Need to be not screenshotable.
I can't take this conversation seriously.
Fleets.
Do you know what a Fleet is?
What?
Have you ever seen what a Fleet, does anyone know what a Fleet is?
Like a fleet of cars?
No, no. Does no one else know what a Fleet is?
Nobody knows.
Have you never been to the store and bought a Fleet?
No.
Google what a Fleet is.
What is a Fleet?
What's a Fleet?
I can't even say it on daytime TV.
Is it a sexual thing?
No, a Fleet is the most disgusting thing in the world.
Can you eat it?
No, I can't even deal with this.
I'm gonna Google it.
Everyone, Google what a Fleet is,
Rebecca,
and tweet it
Google
to me.
It. Tell us what it is.
Tweet it at Carissa.
Okay, we're gonna figure this out. We'll be back with Fleet talk.
It says a country's navy.
Oh my God.
The country's what?
Every gay man in America is like, why are they talking about fleets on TV?
Yeah, I don't have.
Why are y'all talking
tell
about?
Tell us what it is. Right, like I haven't eaten it.
Okay, so I had to look up what a Fleet was, and I have learned it is a latex-free enema for fast and reliable constipation relief.
Which, sign me up.
Now we all know. Well, that works.
Where were you when I needed that, like 3 weeks ago? You need to tell me these things.
I told you that years ago when you told me that you and your man wanted to try. Oh, sorry. I was telling you about it educationally.
Wow.
A few years ago.
Believe none of this.
You guys, she
believe
never
things
listens.
Just get stuck really, sometimes.
She never listens.
Really missed you guys.
She never listens.
We're going to wrap up with a few rounds of Would You Do It? All right, first up, they've only been together for 5 months, but Miley Cyrus and Cody Simpson have matching tattoos. The tats are tridents that appear to refer to Prince Neptune, which is Cody's book of poetry that comes out in April.
Okay.
So 5 months in, matching tattoos.
It's interesting that they both got that.
That's very him.
It's a very him.
It's like she got a Cody tattoo. He got a nod to one of his pieces of work.
I think also when you have tattoos already, adding another little one isn't as significant. It's not that big of a deal. So I think for them it doesn't really matter. It's just something fun to do. She thought it was probably a cool thing and she did it.
But she was smart. She didn't fill it in.
Yeah.
She did not fill it in. And I think for rock stars, tattoos are kind of sort of like scrapbooks.
Yes.
Like, oh, I got this one because I met this girl named Petunia. But, you know, like, it's always
Petunia. Petunia's
like
chic.
It's always like a Petunia situation.
Well, she also got one matching with Liam. Who else?
Liam's sister-in-law.
Liam's sister.
Yeah.
And the girl she dated for a little bit before Cody.
That's what I'm saying. It's literally like.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
If you talk to any rock star about any of their tattoos, there is a story behind it. And 9 times out of 10, after they got that tattoo, they probably never saw that person again.
Yeah, true.
Okay, real quick, too. American Daredevil Nick Wallanda tight-roped across a freaking active volcano last night. The crater is called the Mouth of Hell. It took him, like, 30 minutes to cross this thing. Would you ever do that? Hell no is my answer to that.
I mean, come on. How do you even get to... Is he, like, strapped in?
No.
Yeah, he has a little thing just in case he falls.
Oh, he does. Okay.
either way, no. Hell no.
Unless
hell
there's some money on the other side of that, I ain't doing it.
How much money?
It'd have to be a lot.
No, no amount.
All right, that's it for us today, you guys. Make sure you follow us on social, and we'll see you tomorrow at noon. Bye.
Deuces. Oh, bye fast.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.